Welcome to my presentation on Drupal Commerce, the next generation of e-commerce solutions. In Drupal, my name is Pedro Cambra. I work for Commerce Guys. This is my first English presentation, so I apologize up front for if you can't understand me, please tell me and I'll try to explain better. I'm going to show you what's the status of the Drupal Commerce module. It's a new module for Drupal 7, and we are developing it from Commerce Guys. I'll tell you the status, what's the roadmap is for us to have a Drupal e-commerce solution. And then I'll show you a demo of what we have already and what are we prepared to do now live. And if you have any question in the presentation, feel free to raise your hand and interrupt me. I'll rather see that and give it with doubts. I'm a Drupal developer and at Commerce Guys, and for the last 2 months and a half I've been working full time in the Drupal Commerce project to get it to beta, which is the actual status in Drupal.org. And also I'm a highly active member of the Spanish community and Catalan community. I was part of the organization of the Drupal Camp in Barcelona last year, and I'm part of the organization of the local group and the local meetings and this stuff. So, what we're trying to do with Drupal Commerce is to place Drupal as a main platform of e-commerce, or a main solution of e-commerce at the level of other solutions. So if you are planning to do an electronic shop, an electronic store, you get Drupal as an alternative, as well as other solutions, as Magento, PrestaShop. People should take Drupal into consideration, and Drupal Commerce is just the first step for that. We are building the module, the project, and all the environment in the project to be able to develop e-commerce solutions and be one of the main solutions for this market. So it's a rule the world thing, you know. So, okay. The roadmap and the current status. Now we are in beta 2, and this is we are now prepared to be a e-commerce framework with Drupal, and we are doing this core stuff and this basic stuff to have as much as possible stable, and all the rest of the stuff like shipping, like stock tracking, like another around things that are needed for a Drupal or for a store but are not in the core now, are going to mature as contributed modules. And then we'll join that in the future. But one of the things is that we want to foster people contributing in the project, and we want to promote Drupal Commerce knowledge to have people that know about it. So we have a partner program. We have we need people who know about the system and know how to build a store with that. Also, as part of the roadmap, we have one distribution already that is called Commerce Kickstart, and it's supposed to be a you download this, install it, and you have a commerce site set up with a basic configuration. We are going to improve that distribution, and we are going to release more, and maybe single-purpose stores, like you want to sell events, or you want to sell t-shirts, or whatever, you download a specific distribution and you build on that. This is part of the roadmap. So, Drupal Commerce is Drupal 7 native, and is highly dependent on all this stuff here, all this cool stuff we have in Drupal 7. And how many of you are familiar with Drupal 7? Okay, not so many. In Drupal 7 we have this new thing called Entity. That is, you would say that it's like the new nodes for Drupal 7, like the new content system for storing things. That's in core, and that rules the whole Drupal 7 thing. And we are based on that, we base on the entity system. I will explain you next slide how and at which level. We are relying on a new field system. You know that CCK, or most of the part of CCK, got incorporated into Drupal 7, right? So this is called Field API, and we rely on that. We have this thing, this entity field query thing, that allow us to know in which entities are, in which bundles are our fields. I will not get deeper into this, but it's like you have one field, and you can know to which parent corresponds only without caring about the database schema you have. So it's a very handy thing in Drupal 7. And also, we'll rely on three contributed models that are the entity API that allow us to manage entities more easily. And this is on country. We use rules for every transaction and every change of state we have. And we use basically Vue 3 for all our UI. So Commerce, Drupal Commerce has an API part and UI part that you can turn off and get only the API if you don't like, or if you don't want our default views. Okay, if you say, okay, I hate this stuff, you can disable it. Or you have some sort of external management, such as ERP or CRM that you manage your stock, your clients, whatever, and you don't want a UI, you can disable the UI and you only have the API. So we barely have any JS written in Drupal Commerce because we use the new Ajax system for Drupal 7, which is really good and it's really standard and it's the way to go. And also, we have a great thing to have that is functional simple test coverage. I wouldn't say we have a full functional simple test coverage, but almost everything is covered by test. This means that if you make some change, you can test if you break something in the working of the state of work of the shop. So let's say you change the way that checkout works, like you add a product to your cart and go to the checkout. You change something in that, you can run the test and see if everything else is working.
Hey, come back. Okay. So we have that. Okay.
Which entities do we have and how we related one to each other?
We don't have any more products as a node, as it was before in Drupal 6 with HeroCard. That's not anymore in Drupal Commerce.
We have a product entity, which is the product itself.
We could call that a product variation. Okay, and then we have a display,
which is a node. So what the user sees is a node
that has one too many products on it. And we have this amazing product reference field that links the product to the node and allows us to have dependent attributes, allows us to have different image for a same product, like say I have a black t-shirt and a red t-shirt and I switch them in the interface and the image changes, the price changes, everything changes. So we have that. I will demo in a moment. And also we have the line item as an entity. Okay, is anybody not familiar with the concept of line item? It's like in an invoice, a line item. Okay, it's fine. So this is an entity. What the entities have as a great thing is they are fieldable, so we can add fields, whatever fields we need to every step of the every box. To every box on this chart. Sorry. We can add custom fields. I will try to move the mouse open. We have price as a field as well. Okay. So we can all the fields you have here, price, world reference, have this thing that is called field formatter. Which is a way to theme the fields. So we can theme a price to be with taxes or without taxes or whatever. And same with the product reference. So we have this display, we have the product, and when we add a product to a cart, to our cart, an order gets created. Okay, so we don't have any hackish cart thing. It's simply a order with cart status. And then you modify that status to be in checkout or to be pending or complete or whatever you want, or define your own status, is not a problem. So this order thing has line items which are related to products. That's the basic schema for us. And also, we have this customer profile that could be a billing profile that's defined by default. We provide with a billing profile that has an address field to track the address of the customers. And that's in the order, related to the order. And as this is an entity, we can add all the fields we want to the customer profile. I will show you in the demo, but we can add VAT or phone as a field within the UI, no more template customization or whatever. And also we have the payment transaction as an entity. So imagine you have an order and users make payments on that order. We are not depending on the way the user pays. It's just a payment transaction that goes to the order, and that's it. So we have a very, very powerful way of having partial payments, recurring payments. It's very, very standard, and it's a powerful tool.
Okay, if you have any question of this, I know it's a very big thing to it, but I will show you the examples of everything now. In the demo.
So, if you you are lucky enough to have internet access, not like me. Well, I have now, thanks to a big thing with a PDA. I will post the slides.
Let's see. No, not in Chrome. If you go to the project page in Drupal.org, it's like Drupal.org-project-commerce,
you will find the link to the demo and also a link to the DrupalCommerce.org.
Web page which has okay, let's try in Chrome. It's way faster. Okay.
So you can access to this page of the demo if you want to try some stuff.
I will show you a couple of things here. Is the catalog here? Let's see. Okay,
let's start here. That's the old Mac. The new is way cooler. Right. This is what the user sees. Okay.
Okay, this is a project page.
So this is what the user sees in the shop, and we have this thing called products. So this is a node, and those things in the drop down are products.
So if I change this to white MOOC, internet is fast enough. Okay, come on. No? Yeah.
Try to see it in the normal speed of a connection. The image change, the price change, and I can add to cart my thing.
Okay, this is a Drupal Commerce Beta 2
with Corolla theme. It's not working at all.
Let's go for the ugly thing in... No, it's not working. No, hello. Okay,
this is a Bartik thing. Okay, this is in my local, so I can show you this stuff.
I have a generic product 3 thing. I go to the store. Products. Okay.
These are all my products. I can relate one or more than one to the display, so the user see that.
So if I go to the structure, content types, product display, I go to the fields,
take a closer look to this one, which is field product,
that references our fields, our products. And I can tell here which products are assigned to the... I know this is not a UI-friendly way to do the things, but from an architecture point of view, it's an awesome thing to have. To not having the no display related to the or fixed with the product display. So I can track stock, I can relate a product to several nodes, I can translate products because the display is only a node and the information of the product is separate, so I can have the node that is displaying the content, I can have that in multiple language. Yeah.
Can you have also multiple currencies?
Yeah. Yeah, we have multiple currencies. I'll show you that in a moment. So, I'm changing this. Sorry, in the display, I'm changing this product to be to cart for. So, save. Okay. Yeah, now it's working. I just changed the display formatter for this thing to be the add to cart form from administrative point of view. So let's say I have blue and red shirts with size LM. If I can, I change this add to cart and have a red L thing in my cart. These are dependent attributes. So I can change the image, would change. I would love to show you that in live, in the live side. The image change, and notice the shopping cart has this configuration thing here, not here. Where is this thing? Okay, it's not there. Well, the thing is that the shopping cart block is a view, actually, so you can change the shopping cart to be a, let's say you have a, you need a page shopping cart, or you want the images there, or whatever, it's just a view. If I click on view cart, okay. I have the shopping cart right here. What's that? Sorry. Wrong side, I think. I won't show you this because it's with Views 3. Okay, this is way better. That's faster, and that's okay. Yeah. So here I have this. Okay. This is a view. So I show you that I'm not lying. This is also a view. So then my cart page is a view, and if I want the images, I just put an image. If I don't want the quantity, I just go here. This is the old views interface. I don't know if you have seen the nicer one, but it's really nicer. I can go here. Sorry? It's not bad, right?
It's better than Nazis.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I take out the quantity, update, save. Yeah, and I don't have quantity anymore. And I could have, you know, the image, whatever. Okay. So, let's go to the checkout with this Mac con café is Mac with coffee. Okay. For those you don't know. Got it. Okay, I have, you'll see I have a 80% VAT already configured.
Mm-hmm. I will go forward to that as well.
How much is the VAT here in Portugal?
23.
What?
Yeah,
23, you said?
Going up to 25.
25?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a very high tax. Okay, let's see that. So, if I go to a store, I go to configuration, I have a taxes thing, which is the VAT. I can edit that to be 23%, 23 of VAT, save. Okay, and I have a 23 of VAT. This has not changed because you can have the VAT of the taxes included or excluded of the product. Okay, so and you can play with that and see what happens. Okay, I'm in the checkout now, and this is what we call a checkout panes. Okay, so I have a summary of what I'm ordering. I have a, this is the customer address, customer entity, which is an address field, which I can change. If I go to a store, I configure, I go to a store, to customer profiles, I have my profile here, I have profile types. We ship with a billing information one, that's the only one we have. There is a country called commerce shipping that adds a shipping information as well, billing versus shipping. So I can manage fields. I have this address field, which is from a module called address field that we created with a language that I think is called XML language for addresses that covers like every single field in the world that can be an address. So this model defines address per country. So we have now, I think we have covered the US, of course, Britain, Brazil, Spain, Belgium. So if you want to come up and go to the address field for creating a Portugal address field, which with the usual fields that you gather for the shops, it's a very easy thing to do. And will be more than welcome. So let's say I want to gather the VAT number. In the shipping information for companies or whatever, I just go here, say this is a text field. I won't go complicated on this. I save the field. Yeah, okay, it's not required. And when I close this, it refreshes the page, and I have a VAT number in my customer information. I don't know if you used this with your card in D6, and if you tried to add a VAT number for your clients, well, this is way easier. And if I need a phone, or if I need whatever information I need, it's an within field UI. Okay, you'll notice this payment here with an example method that we provide that is just you enter a text here and you are good to go. It's only a dummy thing. We have, if you go to drupalcommerce.org, in the frequently asked questions, you will see a list of payment gateways that we have already. I don't think we have one for Portugal yet. Do we have BOF space for sessions or whatever?
There should be a room.
Okay, if you are interested in know how to build a payment gateway for Portugal, I'm open to discuss that later. So if you want to know how to do that, I can show you how to develop that. I have one for Sermepa. Is that something that sounds familiar to you? No, it's not something that is used in Portugal.
Multibank.
Okay. We simplified the. Before in Eurocard for DCs, there was this payment gateway and then the payment method. This was like a very complicated thing to do if you did it right, which almost nobody did because it was insane. And we simplified that to just payment method. So you define a payment method and define how the payment transaction should work. And that's it. It's a very, very simplified way to put it, but it's pretty much it. So you will notice I have a one-page checkout. So I fill all my information, I fill the payment, I continue, and I have the order set. So what if we want a multi-page checkout? I go to configuration, I have a checkout settings, and I go to this amazing thing that is a checkout form. These are all my payments that I have available. You can define more by code. I mean, it's something that is not an issue. And I could go and say, okay, I have a review page. I put the payment here. I put the information of the review here. I save. I close the overlay so the page refresh. And now I don't have the payment here. I fill my information with test, whatever. I continue. And I'm in the review page with my review information, whatever. This is only output. And my payment method. So I can go from one to two to infinite checkout pages. But I would recommend you to have one single checkout page, but you could do that in a multi-step way. As simple as you have just seen. And checkout complete. Okay. Let's see more stuff. You asked me for the multi-currency support, right? We have these currency settings here, and we can enable. Yeah, it's like everything under the sun here. We take this from standards, and I'm pretty sure that we have here currencies that doesn't exist anymore. But if yours is not here, because you're selling to whatever country that is not here, you can add this. And we can have a default store currency that is the same. Okay, so you can check more than one here, and you have a multi-currency thing that's working. And you can even alter the currencies. We have bytecode, hook currency alter, because in some countries it's not like a standard. Like, I think Australia has like three different ways of showing, like, the currency goes up front or behind the number of the amount, and you can change that to fit your needs, whatever you want. Okay. We have this thing also called product pricing rules that would sound a little alien, but this you could call that discount. Okay? You can modify the rules to fit your needs and add more rules.
These ones that are here are the taxes, but you can add yours, like I add a prison rule called double administrator or whatever. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with rules, but this is the event that happens when the price of the product is calculated. I can add conditions and then an action. Okay, that's the way it works. I will add a condition based on the role of the user. User has role. The current user is small, right? The current user that is now connected is administrator. Get that to if the user has the role administrator, I could add any condition with or and whatever. I add an action that is multiply or divide or sum, add up a fixed amount or a percentage or whatever. Well, the percentage will be with multiply and divide. But two. Okay. So if I close and if I go to my... I have all my prices double. Okay. So it's like... You are kicking me out?
No.
Okay, so I have the Pro 2 with whatever is 12:30 and it was 6:15. I can edit this and say, I can view the product is Luxin Cafe, edit, and say, told you this before, say, this is tax include, this price I'm putting here is tax include or tax exclude. So 5 euro is tax include, close here, and it's the double of price, 10 euros. So you can go as creative as you want in the pricing rules, like you can have discounts per user, discounts per role, discounts per product type, per... You can use a field for a condition of a discount, of a tax, of whatever. And we have these rules everywhere. Like in the checkout I showed you before, we have these checkout rules. You can define your own. So what happens when a user finishes her purchase or his purchase? What do we do? So we have this by default, you can disable them if you hate them. But if an anonymous user creates an order or buys from us, we create the account for the user using the email and the information that's provided. If the anonymous user that is buying fills an known email address, we assign the order to that existing user with this one. We send a notification and we update the order when the checkout finish. Okay, so if you want to be an order to be in a given status when the user buys the thing, you go here, modify this rule and say, okay, the status is not pending, is complete. Okay, the order state, I can edit this action and say, okay, when a user finish, the status changes. So, what did I forgot to tell? We support. Okay, you can pre... Sorry.
calculate your prices.
So you don't execute the rule for a given product on every page load that will be consuming, I think. You can pre-calculate all the variation that a price can have and cache that in a table. So you will go here and execute this on a batch and save all the... If I go here and save, batch calculate price. Okay, there are six product sell prices. That would mean that there are six different combination of product and price and whatever. So I think that is all we have in all. In the order listing page, you can see the orders that are created in the system. And this is also a view. All that I have showed you is our views for the UI. There's nothing customized there. So you can edit what the administrator says. And also, we have this create an order link that allow us to create orders in the background. From the administrator perspective, I can just add line items, bin products or bin whatever to an order and assign that to a given user. Okay, so what's the use case for this? I can have a shop that has no cart at all. So I go here, I add some products, some that could be billing hours, that could be event tickets, whatever. I add that, I say the quantity, I can change the unit price, I could change the currency here if I have more than one enabled. And I say, okay, this is in checkout status. I save. I have the order 3. And I can go to checkout for the order 3. I can paste this link, send that to the user that has to complete the purchase, and here's your order. And you can complete, pay, and you will have no card. Okay? So, these are some of the links that are interesting for the project. This is a project page. We have frequently asked questions there. We have a forum that will probably be not there in a month or so because we are taking out. You can find documentation, payment methods, whatever is there. This is a project in the Drupal.org. We have this installation profile that installs everything you need for you and creates all the basic stuff. These are resources from Commerce Guys that include news, and for being informed, we have a Twitter account to get to follow all the news. That's it. Anybody has questions? Yeah.
Regarding the product creation, what's the best way to avoid when you look at your for instance, you have to create a product entity and then you have to create your own display for the product. How can I avoid doing that? For instance, what are my options to explain to the client that he has to create a product entity and then he has to create a node? I should display the product and create. How can I avoid doing that? For instance, when I want to try and create the product entity, creating the node automatically, the rules.
Yeah, there are a couple of issues for that.
Yes, I've seen them. There are some problems.
Yeah, there's problems there. Ideally, you will be able to create a probe node from the creation of probe and vice versa. That would be the ideal thing to do. It should be possible in some time. Yeah. We have there is this mode called boot probe creation. Yeah, that allows you to boot probe creation and then that creates an object. But with rules, it should be possible to create an object on probe creation.
Yeah, if somebody is interested in this paper, we
Drupal Commerce, you can see that below. And if you have further questions about Drupal Commerce, feel free to ask me.
I think you did the first question. You did the first question, right?
Yeah.